Welcome to Real Flix Reviews. We're like a book club for people who hate reading. This month they're doing grab bags, so James picked the movie The Believer, made in 2001. We bring you movie news. And this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevenson,
hello,
and Ryan Preston. So I'll read the description of this movie. A young Jewish man develops a fiercely anti-Semitic philosophy based on the factual story of a KKK member in the 1960s who was revealed to be Jewish by a New York Times reporter.
I like it when people are revealed.
Yeah.
So I have to admit, I didn't hate Ryan Gosling in this movie, which is...
I think this is one of his best movies, if not the best job he's ever done.
I'll second that.
No, I'll definitely agree with that. It's a lot better than everything else I've seen him in.
Yeah, you liked him
a lot better than Drive.
There you go, that one.
I'm pretty sure watching Sesame Street while smoking, you know, like PCP would be a lot better than Ryan Gosling to most of his movies.
Well, you know, I think, didn't we do Drive?
We
for the
did.
First,
like the
first,
second.
First no, I think it was the first one.
No, it was the second or third one.
No, second one.
First one was a movie, Red Line.
That's right. Okay, yes. And The Believer was, I think, the second one because I wanted it. Because I had to debunk everybody's beliefs that Drive was a good movie because it was shitty.
I'm still pissed you made me watch that. Even more pissed than watching Super.
So I figured after how long we've been doing the show?
Ryan, are you there?
4 or 5
yeah.
years?
Okay, yeah.
I think it's about time that we actually did a good Ryan Gosling film. I think that's enough of a break.
I'll be honest, I thought it was kind of an oxymoron, and not to actually crap, okay, to crap on the guy, but I didn't know, you know, the guy was the fucking movie Notebook. I mean, how good is your movie career after going to be after being that movie?
Notebook wasn't that bad.
No, that was, I mean, especially the performances were pretty terrific.
The most amazing thing about this movie is it's based on a true story.
Yes, it's based on Dan Burroughs.
But it's one of those movies that is loosely based.
Very loosely based on him. I don't think they even did any real follow-up on really what happened, except for the fact that he was outed by a reporter. I think that's the only true story about the guy and the fact that he was Jewish.
Yeah, because even the end of the... Spoiler alert. Well, if you're watching this show, spoiling it anyways. But even the ending didn't really align with what really happened.
No, actually, Dan Burroughs shot himself in the chest and then shot himself in the head. That's pretty committed to suicide.
Right?
Yeah, it is.
Considering,
sure.
Well, he had multiple suicide attempts that failed.
Multiple self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah.
We're kind of doing this backwards, but I actually really liked the way the movie ended. It kind of turned it into a weird redemption story.
No. The way he died, I don't know if you guys know this, but Jews actually believe in purgatory. That is one of their things in their belief system is purgatory, and that's actually what he entered. That's where he died and entered into that purgatory where he's continually going up the stairs trying to find the truth. Trying to find out what's up there.
Yeah, but listening to an old Jewish rabbi kind of read you the riot act all the way up the stairs might be hell.
Well, purgatory isn't supposed to be pleasant.
Obviously.
Well, don't forget, one person's heaven could be another person's hell.
Yeah.
But I really liked the way that I liked the ending, though, because it really was a strange redemption story. I mean, that's the way they turned it into, which the guy's life was not.
No, he was actually going to kill the reporter who outed him, but ended up killing himself first. You're such a failure.
Actually, a lot of shootings would be better if they just took themselves out first.
Yeah, start there. Yeah.
So say this story overall, I actually really liked. I mean, I think everybody was kind of an archetyped character a little bit one way or another. And his character was kind of very flat, in my opinion.
I disagree.
Really? What? Why?
Yeah, I kind of disagree too. I don't think he was.
I thought he was really, really. I mean, it started to build obviously a lot more towards the end when you realized his conflict in his own head. You know what I mean? But just his, you can already kind of tell sort of his dichotomy. You know, with the way he treated the Jewish kid on the bus or the train.
Yeah, it was the bus, and then he followed him out.
Yeah.
And then still kind of, you know, following, if you will, Judaism, following in the in the keeping tabs on it sort of thing, you know, like in his own head.
See, you didn't think his character was kind of, because I thought at least, especially in the beginning, his character was very one-dimensional. And once I think you got to see the dichotomy in himself, which I don't think you saw until, if not halfway in the movie, a little bit before it. I thought that's when his character was at least getting a little more interesting to me.
I think the one where you really see his confliction and his real pet peeves with the Jewish people is when the court ordered him to go in and speak to the Holocaust survivors.
Yeah, that's about halfway through the movie, right?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more, but around there.
Because that's pretty much what I was talking about.
And, you know, it's that whole scene is where I think where you actually get that confliction, because that's his big issue is that they wouldn't fight for themselves.
And he was there.
For
the flashback scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was
because he ended up there later. He put himself in the Nazi shoes, and then he put himself in the Jew's shoes.
Well, because in real life he was born in 1937. Because I wasn't sure; they didn't specifically say if he was born in Germany, though. And that's because the way the flashbacks, I was assuming that.
No, I don't think so. I think he was born here, and I think they even said that in the movie. I don't remember.
Because that's the way I assumed it.
you know, and then you see his whole character is just a confliction of himself. And I think the way, like Ryan was saying, I think that wasn't really a flat character. I think that he did a really good job of showing the confliction there continually. Yeah. And especially when he goes into the temple and they're destroying the temple and he's okay with everything. But once they open up that back section and get into the Torah and the crowns and a lot of the symbols of the faith, that's when he's like, okay, no, guys, you're crossing it. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's really the inner conflict, you know, obviously is what this story is about, and kind of how people, sort of the mechanisms which make people hate, you know, the way that they do.
I'll definitely give it to you that, you know, I'll change what I said. It wasn't necessarily flat, that I think it was a poor attempt of trying to show the character evolving, you know, if that makes sense.
Well, I think it was way more, this movie was way more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? An allegory or a message. I mean, it was way more about the message, the point that it was trying to make.
Yeah, and I think they did a fantastic job on the point.
Sure, hell yeah. Matter of fact, James, I think if you probably remember right, this is one that you and I were just like wandering around Blockbuster or something one day.
Yeah.
And it just happened to look interesting. We read the back and it was like, oh, it's about a Jewish neo-Nazi.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, we're going to read that.
So,
and went back and it was just one of those like, wow. Holy shit.
And the writer, director, and screenplay guy is Henry Bean. And I think he did a fantastic job. He's also known for Basic Instinct 2, which is not something I'd brag about. But, you know.
Hey, a guy's got to eat.
Yeah.
So let me go back to what you said. So you liked the point of the movie, is that what
you
said? I just want to make sure I heard right.
I really like the point of the movie, too.
Because I actually agree. I completely agree. I have to say, the only person I was really surprised is the Phantoms in this movie.
Yeah.
Billy Zane, Mr. Titanic himself.
Yeah.
That legitimately surprised me, the fact this guy's actually been in good movies.
Yeah, there's actually a few people that were... that ended up getting some good things, like Garrett Dillahunt
and Summer Phoenix.
Yeah.
There were legitimately some good actors. I think for me, one of the things I liked about this is some of the actors I actually didn't recognize. I've probably seen them in other movies, but for a lot of that cast that were kind of unknown to me, at least I thought they were, which is something I really liked, because I wasn't burdened of seeing them as another character.
Yeah.
Because even Billy Zane, he's been in a lot of crappy movies, so for me, he's never one particular character.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And yeah, he can still kind of fall into some characters every now and again, you know.
And then, like we said with Ryan Gosling, I actually thought he pulled, overall, even though I did think things were stiff, I think he did a good job of the character. And I did think it was interesting it showed the red laces.
Yeah.
That to me was the point that I thought, it's like, okay, this guy's hardcore.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, he wasn't messing around with his neo-Nazism.
And the fact it was that his dad or his grandfather?
The guy that he was eating noodles with, his dad.
Yeah. I love the fact he just kept was wearing, you know, the whole, walked into the house wearing the SS bolts. Runes.
Yeah. The lightning bolts.
I was like, damn, that's brave.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy he played was not a very nice guy. And I think he did a good job showing that. I think he, you know, the confliction stuff, like, you know, he's cleaning the Torah up, and then he's got the girl sitting in front of it naked, and he's like telling her, put some clothes on, you know, you can't sit in front of that thing like that, and then teaching her Hebrew. And
then in the next scene, he's calling her, a you know, like a Jewish epitaph.
Yeah.
Which I actually agree that I kind of liked how they showed the different characters, like him kind of getting back into his core and reexamining his early life and his faith. You know, that part, yeah. I really like the struggle between the two sides.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's basically like your whole formative years, childhood, but you have such a shitty home life, you look for a family elsewhere, and the one that you find happens to be the opposite of what your childhood was, you know?
See, I don't know if technically he was looking for a home life in the film.
Well, he was looking for something to belong to, kind of got wrapped up in sort of the... Sort no, of I think a charisma, was, if you will, of the that type of movement. So.
I think he really was viewing the Jewish faith as a hypocrisy of a power-hungry God. That's what he kept on saying as a kid. And yeah. I think that's really what it was. And then they come back to that whole thing of where, you know... and we can get into the scripture stuff, but I do kind of agree with him in the sense that as soon as Abraham lifted that knife and was ready to kill Abraham, he had already committed the act in his heart.
Yeah.
You know, and that it really is going to be something that he's going to remember. And of course, Isaac's going to remember it too. So there's a lot of things that, you know, I liked his viewpoint, and I liked the fact that his character that he was portraying was one that wasn't going to take the status quo by their word.
Yeah. And I think that was one of the things, at least the movie I got across in the school scene, is there was nobody for him that would sit him down and actually give him, like, you know, a conversation on an intellectual level he needed. And I think that was the part to me about this movie that really I liked, was that the scene, I think it was the scene in the temple when it was talking about, you don't know anything about these people? Don't you know?
And how do you not know them?
Yeah. I mean, you should know the things about the people you hate. Yeah.
Right.
And that, to me, that was like, okay, so it shows he's very intellectual, at least has some reasons he can articulate.
The actual Dan Burroughs guy had an IQ of a 154.
Damn.
And so he was a very smart man, but and then the other scene that I really like is when they ask him to come out and to talk to all these people and help to kind of recruit him, and he comes out and he starts singing the prayers. He starts doing the prayers right in front
of everybody.
I love
the reaction.
Everybody's just is like, "The hell are you doing?" And then he says, "You know why we're doing the prayer?" And he starts getting into it and saying, "You know, you gotta know, you just can't hate blindly, because that's just stupidity."
Right.
And then the fact that, you know, he's very much right. If you go out and you destroy these people, they're going to become stronger. That's really what keeps on happening. If you look at throughout history, that's what keeps on happening to the Jews.
I also love Billy Zane and his wife's character.
I don't remember her
character's name, but I really love the fact they were kind of shocked by that, because I think, you know, that Ryan Gosling's character kind of started the particular movement with them, at least hating Jews and all that. That's kind of the way I took
it's
off.
Teresa Russell, Linda Mobius.
I mean, what do you think? Because I really think that he started it, and then when he kind of backed off and I think switched his position a little bit, I think that shocked him, because they didn't really expect him to change his stance like that.
No. But, you know, the one stance that he kept on with was that he wanted to kill Jews. You know what? He was successful in the end. He did kill. He did kill himself a Jew. Good job.
He sure did.
Oddly enough, I never took it that way. That's a good point. So,
I guess in that sense, you were successful.
It was a good and a bad part. I mean,
favorite scene is the diner scene when they come into the Jewish deli. I should say, not diner, deli. They go to the Jewish deli and they start talking to the guy, you know, like, can I have a pizza? Can I have a cheeseburger? I can't worship a God that doesn't let me have a cheeseburger. What's wrong with him?
I remember
the waiter's reaction to it all. Just like, oh, Christ, here we go again.
Yeah.
I remember you like text message me the URL link. It's like, you got to look this up. This is an amazing scene. I was like,
yeah.
And I watched it. It's a good question mark. And I remember having like a 40-minute conversation about, you know, the laws. It's like, so that explains why you sent it to me. But why the hell did you, you know?
Well, you got to understand the Jewish laws and the Jewish food laws to even understand that scene. And then, you know, he kind of goes into it. He kind of goes in a little bit like a chicken. A chicken doesn't have milk. You know? Why can't you have a cheese chicken sandwich? Come on, guys. You know? So there is things like that.
Come on, if Chick-fil-A can do it.
Yeah. But, you know, all in all, I really enjoy this film. I don't think it's a full-on 5 out of 5. There's no question there. But it's at least a good 4 for me. I think it deserves a 4. I think if you haven't watched it, go out and watch it. There are some things that are, you know, not PC at all. I mean, like, you know, when the Holocaust survivor is talking there, that's a very tough scene.
Well, I think a movie like this, that for one, it's a drama, and I think parts were...
One more thing I gotta mention.
Oh no!
Is the Holocaust scene where they're not the Holocaust scene, but they're discussing the Holocaust, and the one guy goes, "That's bullcrap. They could not have killed 6 million Jews." And then he goes, "You know, why would Hitler be such a savior if he only killed 200,000 Jews instead of 6 million?" You know, that part always makes me laugh, is because, you know, it's the idiots out there saying that the Holocaust is a farce. You're an idiot. Go shoot yourself in the face.
A loving message from RFR. I gotta say, the one thing about this movie I like, well, actually reset this. One of the things about movies, especially a movie that's a drama with action bits, especially with some comedic bits, is it should make you think, or at least challenge you in some way. I think if you're agreeing with parts of this movie, you have an interesting kink. But I liked this movie because it was enough of a movie to make you think and go, a Jewish Nazi, you know? So I liked it. I definitely 4 to 5. I think this movie is one of those movies you kind of have to do homework to understand part of it, though.
Yeah, you can't just go in blindly. You got to know what you hate.
Or just do what I do. It's like, hey, James, what does this mean? And, you know, you end up reading something for 2.5 hours. So, yeah. So that's...
Definitely is one of those wormhole type of movies that will get you on a train of thought for sure. But I agree with both of you totally. Yeah, I mean, it's a very powerful movie that will definitely make you kind of examine your own prejudices and sort of examine where those things come from, you know. Yeah. It definitely doesn't rank the 5. I'll definitely give it the 4, like James. Really good movie, good performances. Its faults are forgivable, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so, there are faults. There are things. One of the things that I did forget to mention about the film is that they could not obtain licenses or, you know, permission to film in certain locations, so they had to do it on the run.
Yeah, which I think is really cool. I love guerrilla filmmaking, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember. I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was with Edward Furlong, with Edward Norton.
Oh, you're talking about American History X?
Yes. This movie vaguely reminds me of this movie.
Yeah, I think American History X was done, was better production, but I think the story in this one is better.
No, the production in American History X is definitely better. But I actually kind of like the low budget guerrilla filmmaking in this movie, because I actually think for this story, it actually enriches it.
Yeah,
because it makes you feel like, hey, this could be you and your really weird buddies, you know, having a very odd conversation.
As long as you live in the Peckerwood areas.
Yeah, well, yeah. Exactly. Not exactly want to have that conversation in Compton. May not go well for you.
Well, hey, y'all got some of them backwoods up there, for sure.
Yeah.
True,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
They're not as blatant as they used to be.
Sure.
So, the TV show we did this week was The Bastard Executioner, and... I got to admit, I wasn't expecting the way this even started, because the only thing I saw of this literally was an ad in a magazine in a doctor's office with the words "The Bastard Executioner" and a black page, pretty much. Okay. And so I purposely didn't look anything up about this movie and this TV show. And it's interesting enough that I want to watch the next episode.
Yeah.
Which to me, for a pilot episode, generally that's the sign to me that they did a good job on the first pilot, because the pilot makes you wants to, you know, you gotta, it sucks you in.
Yeah, I agree. I actually did see the next episode.
I have.
I actually agree. I did want to see the next episode, and I was intrigued enough. There are things that will bog this show down. I think the little Robin Hood-esque crap that they're throwing in is where they're going to bog it down.
And Jax's mom?
I think her accent is foul, by the way. Gotta say that.
She.
I like you, Katie Sagal. I think you're a fantastic actress. Don't do this.
Okay. I have to jump in here.
Please.
I'm definitely going to be the defector on this one.
Okay, Russian.
First and foremost, I have nothing but respect for Kurt Sutter and Katie Sagal.
Yeah, I agree.
In everything that they do. This was such a fucking waste of 2 hours. It is one of the most dog shit pilots that I've ever seen. I don't even mean it that bad. I can't qualify it as one of these like worst things ever, but there was so many different things wrong with this show.
I think I just figured out what I can compare this show to. You ready? I think Ryan's going to agree with me on this one.
Okay.
Xena the Warrior Princess.
Yep. There you go. It's exactly what I felt like I was freaking watching. Xena the Warrior Princess. That's how it felt like it was filmed. Yeah, it really rubbed me the wrong way. The second it started, I'm like, what's going on here? It just felt really shaken and stupid with cinematography in general. Nobody had a good accent, least of which Katie Sagal. I don't know what the hell kind of accent she was trying to do in that.
Like I said, I've seen two episodes, and I'm still trying to figure out what the hell she's doing.
I'll be honest. I
sitting through 85 minutes, I feel like I should have kind of a better plot that was going on. Everything, I don't know what happened with Kurt Sutter's dialogue, but it was insane. It was like he fell in love with this retarded way of speaking and just kept writing like that.
So yeah, this is how bad this. I want to see the second episode, but
oh my god, the acting was so god awful.
Well,
this.
don't get me wrong. This movie was bad. It's so bad that Richard Brake stood out to me. He played one of the royal, the second noble. And the only reason why I know him, because his perverted character Portman in the Rocks movie Doom with Carl Urban.
That's really
how I know him from. Wow. And that character is hardcore perverted. And so the whole time I'm thinking, hey, it's Portman the pervert.
Yeah. Well, oh my gosh. Yeah, the acting in this was... It was like I was watching a high school play.
I actually think James is right, though. To me, it totally reminded me of like the BBC version of Robin Hood, but not as good and not made by the BBC.
Yeah, not nearly as good. And it was the same kind of like production value. I feel terrible for the people who spent as much money as I know they did on this. The sets were awful. Nothing was really period correct.
Wait, hold on. You're complaining?
Having better swords that make you a better swordsman.
Wait a minute.
Was getting flayed on his back couldn't let out a yelp until the gag was out. I'd be having the most muffled, loud screams you've ever seen.
Wait a minute. I think being period correct is the least of this TV show's problems, but I still found it entertaining, honestly. Like, Katie Sagal, honestly, she was the one that took me out of this TV show the most, because I'm like, I know her. Oh, it's the chick from Futurama. Oh, my God. Why did they pick her? There's so many people.
She's a fantastic actress.
Wait. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. She's a great actress. Not the person who should have been doing this particular role. I actually think they should have found somebody a little older, a little more haggard.
I don't necessarily blame her because
a job's a job.
A job is a job, but give her some damn direction. Tell her what accent she's supposed to be using.
Yeah.
So, and if she can't do it, pick a different one.
So
I think he was one of those like, oh, honey, just do whatever accent you want to do.
I think she was watching Rocky Horror Picture Show and tried to reproduce Frankenfurter's accent. So I want to actually read the description of this TV show, because even after watching it, I had no fucking clue. The Bastard Executioner tells the story of a warrior knight in King Edward I's charge who is broke by the ravages of war and vows to lay down his sword. But when the violence finds him again, he is forced to pick up the bloodiest sword of all.
Okay, now let me ask this one question. Why the hell is an executioner such a commodity? If I'm like running the shit in the keep and whatnot, And I'm like, we need to kill this guy. And somebody's like, well, that's not my job. Like, it's your job now because I just told you to go do it.
Well, okay, hold on, Ryan. Hold on. Now, I do have an answer for this.
Of course you would. Shocking.
Now,
what's it a profession? It's like demoting a guitar player. You're a warrior. You're now an executioner, asshole. It's bitch duty.
It could be worse. It could be like body demoting a guitar
player to a drummer.
No, to a bass player.
Okay.
Here, here's a bunch of lessons. You suck so bad you can only handle 4 strings.
No, in actual medieval times, they actually did have professional executioners. Now, granted, as far as I knew, they didn't travel around going town to town. Hey, you need to cut somebody's head off. But botched executions. Hold on.
If I'm without an executioner, I'm not going to not execute people just because I can't find some dickhead to cut somebody's head off.
I agree. But in the time period that they're in, botched executions were commonplace, and they were so bad that if you failed your execution duty, you were executed.
Well, we actually need to kind of move on. Yeah. We need to move on a little bit.
You didn't want to fail killing somebody properly. Okay, anyway, movie news. I'm not looking forward to this show.
So just let you know, we do have a Facebook page. You love us, hate us. Tell us we suck, we'll read you on air. Bitch. But please, do something more creative than you suck or this is the weakest review ever. Your YouTube people, do better, please.
Yeah, yeah. Where the hell's the... What's that forum you pissed off?
Hey, look, it's par for the course, man, with YouTube. But, I mean, you know, hey, they're not wrong.
We're right because, well, hey, we got the cameras, the show, the equipment, so, well, eh.
Well, that's the beautiful part of this show is I don't give a shit if they're right. I just talk shit about movies with my friends.
You gotta have an opinion.
They just have a bad opinion.
I know you guys are so excited for this. Bad Boys 3 is coming out.
In 12 Hell to 16
yeah, I'm
months.
Excited about that. Why the fuck would I not be excited about that?
Smith is actually going to be continuing with this one. I'm surprised because last I heard he was screw you guys. I'm not doing it.
Which
is why it took him so long to make it. But I mean, obviously, he's the only reason anybody would watch it.
Wait, no, did you know that Will Smith looks like the guy from Fresh Prince?
No, I didn't.
It does kind of.
Yeah.
Well, the question is he going to force everybody? Is he going to force everybody to watch his hack of actor's son?
I sure hope not.
Yeah, me too. Well, I mean, I think he got that out of his system. He's like, okay, I got you a movie. Now you're doing this shit on your own. Yeah,
just one movie. Got you like 3 or 4.
Yeah, he gave him a few shots.
Well, no, the first couple were pretty legit, but it was the After Earth situation and Kung Fu.
Kung Fu kid. Jackie Chan.
I actually liked the Karate Kid movie, but...
Kung Fu Kid.
After Earth, dear God, the accents alone in that movie were enough to make me turn it off 20 minutes in.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's a spot that
his accent was earned,
for sure. I mean, Will Smith earned the position to kind of do that kind of stuff, not his kid.
Yeah, I agree. Will Smith, yes, your kid. I'm sorry, dude. Make him bust his chops. So the other thing I wanted to bring up is... there was a film that was put together by an Australian studio called The Subjects. Have you heard of this, Ryan?
No.
Is it a horror movie?
Is it a horrible movie?
Call it a thriller. Now, 8 strangers get locked into a room for clinical trials on a new drug that gives them superpowers.
Okay.
I suppose it depends on the superpower, but you know, shit, I'm willing to suspend my disbelief.
Yeah, this was an indie film that got that kind of got released under the radar, and I just stumbled across it, and it sounds interesting to me. And the reviews are, you know, this is a total fresh new thing, take on the superhero thing that has been done and done and done and done again.
I feel sorry for the poor bastard gets the power of heart.
Yeah. Well, what about the one that gets actually, the Captain America, or not the Captain America, the Captain Planet powers?
Australia's been actually putting together some good stuff lately. There's that one show on Netflix. My girlfriend couldn't get enough of it. It was Miss Fisher's something mysteries or something like that.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, I caught a couple episodes. I mean, it was incredibly well written. A time period, sort of a detective woman in like the 20s. And then there's they just did that critically acclaimed horror movie, the Babadook or something like that.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I want to see.
Yeah, that's an Australian flick that's been getting nothing but good.
Yeah, this one's put together by Robert Mond, and he just had a small budget to put together this type of thing.
How big was the budget?
I don't have the budget right in front of me. I didn't see anything that just told me.
Because I was I've been giving a thought as far as budgets. Definitely seems to on budgets, in my opinion, is. There's a balance between you get too much money, you get Michael Bay, too little movie, you get high school level. So I definitely think there's a balance.
Right, but then there's this, there really is a sweet spot, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that much. But yeah, where art still kind of meets, you know, means.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what this one's going to be. It's more of the art type of thing. And I'm still looking, I don't see anything.
I would say kind of like maybe the first Star Wars, who obviously didn't have a great budget, but not a small budget.
But oh my gosh, did they really made their money count and made the movie magic, you know, like old school tricks just
they
really pop, you know.
That was actually I got some movie news for
it. I'm actually gonna see if I can find that.
Well, one movie news I got is the new Star Wars movies are supposed to be mostly practical effects.
I mean, which is what I've kind of come to expect from J.J. Abrams. He's a huge. I mean, when he did Star Trek, he built, you know, like everything that he possibly could. You which know, other I, than like when what's his name and Cumberbatch were fighting on that speeder flying car situation. I mean, they built that and rocked it around with practical effects, while the scenery behind him was of course CGI because you can't just build an entire town and drive around it.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, you could, but for as long as they were flying around and at the speed they were, it would have been ridiculous. So that's. It to me seemed practical to do that part CGI, but everything he could, he made it look like you can reach out and touch, you know. There's a currency in that.
And I think that goes back to our theory that you should do, if you can afford it, practical effects that's enhanced by CGI.
Sure, you know, but and I've been
like Lord of the Rings did. And the Hobbit.
They blended the two. And Lord of the Rings specifically, first couple, they lost their way a little bit when it got to the third and the Hobbit movies.
I would say all the Hobbit movies and probably the last half of the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah, but like people like Christopher Nolan, J.J. Abrams, say what you will about their movies. I mean, it's like they're single-handedly keeping miniature builders alive and these people who still use gasoline to blow shit up every now and again.
The Mythbusters.
Yeah, basically.
But no, I'm actually I'm interested in seeing the new Star Wars just based on the fact that I read they're actually building sets and the Millennium Falcon and X-Wings it's just like I was reading and watching something about the new Battlestar Galactic, which I haven't watched, and they said most of the stuff on there like was actual practical effects, like that giant Cylon ship that had the giant Cylon head.
Yeah.
They actually physically...
Talking about the 05 series?
Yeah, the new series.
Yeah.
There's a giant ship with a Cylon head. They actually built that.
He refuses to watch it. He can't stand
it. It was one of my selling points on the show, because I was told about Beastar G from a friend of mine, and I immediately kind of brushed it off as like some hardcore... sci-fi thing that was going to get bogged down in years of explanation, but he's like, no, it's an amazing drama, and it's all wrench turners. You know what I mean? Is how he described it to me. It's like there's no central computer that's making everything work. It's people fixing shit, and you know, like kind of doing the physics was the star fighting. It wasn't like the Millennium Falcon or the X-Wings that are flying around in an apparent atmosphere. You know, it's this thruster use of how their ships work. I mean, it was all the practical effects that really sold that show.
And I'll be honest, I haven't seen it just because, you know, I just one of those shows I haven't got around to watching. Racist.
It's friggin' terrific, man. It's one of the original shows that got me into binge watching.
Once I heard it was practical effects, like once I actually get some time.
I thought that was The Shield, Ryan.
No, I didn't binge watch The Shield. Once I found Beastar G, I mean, I must have watched four episodes a day for like 4 weeks.
I'll have to be honest. The Shield would be a hard show to binge watch, I think.
But you haven't watched all the seasons in a day?
Can you actually do that?
possibly. I don't know.
It's like practically five... did that with like The Wire and Breaking Bad and Sopranos, you know.
Really, The Wire? I didn't like The Wire.
Oh my god, The Wire! I've seen it three times. It's still my favorite show that's ever been made.
So with that being said, we might actually do at least the open. Maybe we'll do the pilot of The Wire. Maybe, maybe not. So next week it's Ryan's movie. So Ryan, what movie have you picked?
I have no idea.
Really? Well, the show we're gonna watch is Quantico.
Yeah, we're gonna watch Quantico for the pilot episode. I think it just recently came out. They might not be too far in, but yeah, I had zero chance to kind of think about what I wanted to do, is bullshit. Of course, I had a week to think about it, but you know.
So you don't have a list, because I was gonna say, you know, if maybe for our theater pick, we do the movie The Martian with Matt Damon. How about do a movie at Ripped Off? Robinson Crusoe.
I think
and
Ryan's
Mars.
Gonna pick a Scanner Darkly for next week.
That's a perfect choice.
So. There we go.
A movie I never made it through.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I mean, if I would have even come across that on a list, if I was just trying to look up random movies, I'd have been like, nailed it.
Wait. You need a movie list, man. You gotta write.
That's what I just pulled up with my movie list, so it's one of mine.
Your time to think about it.
Don't forget to scratch that thing out on yours.
Yeah, I will.
and so next week's movie is Quantico. I gave the Believer. 4 to 5. James gave it a 4 to 5. Ryan gave it a 4 to 5. Next week is the TV show Quantico. And as always, thank you for watching.
The movie, A Scanner Darkly.
Scanner Darkly.
Yes, the movie Scanner, what they said.